So this is our Connections Over Coffee. We meet up once a month. And for those of you that may have not connected with me in the past, my name is Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income coach, but I think I'm going to update that in 2024 because I'm more of a mentor than a coach. And so I'm going to change that to say passive income mentor. And what I do on this Connections Over Coffee, we started this during the pandemic when folks just could not connect. Nobody was getting out. And everybody was going onto a Zoom call. And so we decided that we wanted to have some sort of an event where folks could just kind of connect with each other and build relationships and just kind of feel like you weren't stuck at home. And my co-host, my co-mod is Carmela Banks, and she works for her husband in an attorney's office. And so if she is in the middle of something going on in the office, she sometimes jumps on a little late. So we'll watch for her to come on. So I want to welcome everyone today. But the first thing that I want to do before we go around the room, and we kind of did this already just to get everybody warmed up. Before we do that, I want to just give an overview of what it is that we do. And so the Connections Over Coffee is just a way to connect. And so we invite you or any of your friends to join us. And starting in January, this is going to be the fourth Monday of every month at 12 noon. So this will be our last Friday morning on this particular link. And starting in January, we have a whole new Zoom link. And the same Zoom link that you get into this call starting in January will put you into all of the calls for the Kathy Benner International Academy. And so it's everything from real estate. I know, Ernie, we were talking about real estate here a minute ago. It's everything from real estate to writing, to publishing, to building any type of a business so that you can turn your passion into your purpose, and then you turn your purpose into profit, and you finally turn your profit into passive income. And the ultimate goal at the end of the day is that we want to give more. We want to give back. We want to make the world a better place. We want to make more impacts. And that's what this particular group is about, is how we can make more impacts in our world and in our community. So the first thing, and it's a four-step process, is that we want to, And it's the acronym RISE. And so we want to rediscover what makes you tick and what matters in your world so that you can reconnect. So the first letter is R for reconnect. And then we want to transform your life into a blockbuster by embracing the service approach. So how you're giving and serving. And that is how you make impacts. And that's the I in RISE. And then Storify is the S. So once you rediscover what makes you tick and you transform your life into a service approach for impacts, then you need to craft your story so that you can inspire others. And that's the Storify portion. And then finally, the Elevate or the E is being the rock star where you can inspire others to join, you know, the mission. So, and that's how you can elevate the whole, your whole purpose and your impacts. So I've authored one book already called Called to Speak, Lead, and Impact. And one of the things that I did once I created my academy is that I connected it to an organization called B1G1. As a matter of fact, some of my co-hosts in that particular organization is in the Philippines. So it's interesting that Ernie, and Ernie, what is your wife's name? Oh, I'm sorry, you're eating. I don't mean to. Just jump in there and ask.
Miss, it's okay. Gia, we'll say your name.
Hi, I'm Gia.
Nice to meet you. I'm glad that you're here. Yes, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I just wanted to say something real quick. We actually do read your emails. I get out of reading them. I'm on your email list, and I always read them. Now, you never get a reply from me, but I'm always reading them, and they're actually quite interesting. I like your outlook on life. That's why I joined the meetup today, is because I saw it said Kathy Benner Academy.
Well, thank you so much for joining. Yes. Because again, that's one of the things that I teach in the Build a Better Business program, is that once you put together your business, whatever that is, however it is that you want to generate cash flow so that you can give more, your tribe will find you because they they connect with, you know, your life's outlook. And so your tribe will find you. So thank you so much for joining today. I appreciate that. And so anyway, as we go along, one of the things that I wanted to do is like I said, my first book was called To Speak, Lead, and Impact. My second book is coming out in April, and it's The Impact-Driven Entrepreneur. And so I'm all about making impacts around the world. And so what I did with my academy, because my real estate is actually my passive income, and so what I did with my academy is when I started teaching and putting together programs, it is tied to an organization called B1G1, where I can make impacts around the world. And what they do is they vet all of these organizations to make sure that they're legitimate. They make sure that the need is there. They just make sure that it's a viable place for you to donate to. And they do all the homework. They do all the footwork. And they put it all together on this platform called B1G1. And at that point, then whatever membership that I sell in my actual academy, a portion of that goes to B1G1 for education, housing, clean water, whatever the impacts are within that organization, it goes around the world. So we make hundreds of impacts every month with our members. And so that's one of the things that we want to do with this particular group, Connections Over Coffee, is make more impacts. So when you look at the description over in Meetup or in Facebook of the Connections Over Coffee, you will see there is a link to the book Rise. And I wrote the foreword on the book. And the gentleman that wrote the book is the one that actually created the B1G1. So that just gives you a little bit of a background about who we are and why we're here and what we're doing. And so I want to start by sharing where I'm from and what I'm doing and how I am making an impact. So for me, I am in Bradenton, Florida at the moment. I normally am in Canal, Winchester, Ohio. And yes, Ernie, that's right above the Hocking Hills area. I live 30 minutes from Hocking Hills. And my passive income comes through my real estate investing. And I have an entire course in my academy about real estate investing. And I can teach folks how to get started on long-term, mid-term, and short-term. And yes, I too have a property in Hocking Hills. And I have several in the area, but there's one right in the center of the Hocking Hills area. And so that's my income. And so then I can focus on creating impacts in other ways. And so I just donated a couple of scholarships to the academy, to some foster, I'll say kids, but they just are now getting ready to age out of the foster system. And as long as they have a foster home, they have a home. But as soon as they age out, they kind of become homeless overnight. And so one of their struggles.
Oh my God. Now, if you really want to know the truth, that okay. Is me. The story that you just told, that is very similar to my story. I was put up for adoption when I was 2.
Wow.
And the thing is my biological father, who died, had an insurance policy that con people wanted to steal. So I was a baby that was given to unscrupulous foster parents under false pretenses that wanted to steal money. When they didn't get it, they were about as angry as could be, and that money would come at a later time. And I am a limb. And we have a beautiful, beautiful life. Now, just because somebody, you know, may have a hard life or a lot of struggles or adversity, doesn't take away from a person's intelligence. Either you're intelligent and you can do the right thing in life, or you're not. So instead of sitting there feeling sorry for myself, I would reach out to other people to become a better person. And then even if life was difficult when I was younger, you know, I aged out of foster care, and my foster parents left me because they moved to Florida to start a pool company and left me alone by myself with nobody. But I think by continuously working on yourself and reaching out to the right kinds of people and living a clean life, I think a person can pull themselves up and move on to better happiness. But you have to be willing to make the right decisions and live a clean life. Don't expect to have a beautiful life if you don't do the right thing. But that's very interesting that you would mention that.
Yeah. Well, and I understand that. And so I wanted to do my part in giving back and to make impacts. And so one of the impacts I wanted to make was on a couple of these folks every year where I could actually donate to them a year's membership in the Academy. And then I can have a conversation directly with the person and be able to plug them into whatever program would help them the most to who it is that they want to be. So that's one of the ways that I'm making an impact. And so for those of you that are listening, and welcome Carmela, I'll wait till she gets all situated and on. There she is. And so for those that are listening, I am actually I'll call it the facilitator of the Ohio Writers Guild. And so I just interviewed, and for those of you that are here, please check it out. I just interviewed a gal, Michelle Mays, and she wrote her story in a book called Dumpster Doll. And she now has two books. The first one is The Dumpster Doll During the Early Years, and then The Dumpster Doll During Adolescence when she aged out of the foster care program. It's her story. It's about her life. And it's about what she's doing in that whole Hocking Hills region and Southern Ohio. She is actually putting together a hub or a center where these kids that age out of foster care, they actually have a place to connect as a young adult and help to get education. Some of them come age out, and Ernie, this may resonate with you or not, I don't know, but some of those that age out, they don't even have their birth certificate or their social security number.
Yeah, a lot of, to be honest, I was a child that aged out of foster care. And I remember, you know, having to live very, very poorly. I remember having to be on food stamps and walking to the food bank. Now you can't say I was lazy because I worked. I lived a clean life. And despite being very, very poor, I was a decent person because I never did drugs. I didn't drink, smoke, gamble, do drugs. No criminal record, never hurt anybody. I worked as a waiter and I supported myself and I went to school. But what I can say, you hit the nail on the head. What happens is foster children, they get abused and they get stigmatized, and there's a lot of prejudice against them. People have a lot of stereotypical beliefs, and it's really a shame because they don't see the intelligence of the person. Mm-hmm. And like in my case, your foster parents abandon you, you age out of the foster care system, you have nobody. It's very easy to land on your face. I was so poor, I had to walk to the food bank. And I remember the only groceries that I had was what I could carry in my two arms. And I think my shoes were falling off my feet and I had nothing to eat. There was many times when I would, it would be a holiday, you know, and those are supposed to be special days, mm-hmm. and you don't have anybody. It's not that, and the worst of it all, really, is there's a lot of finger pointing with people, a lot of blame shifting. And they think that you're bad or that you must have done something. I've heard a lot of people say it's your fault or that wouldn't have happened to you, when really they're very shallow and they don't see the whole story. A lot of them are very, very innocent. But yeah, I can see exactly what you're saying. What happens is without having any social support or a family or to network, through no fault of the child's own, everybody leaves, the child is abandoned, and then there's nothing there for them in life. And it might, just because somebody is down on their luck, it doesn't mean that they have to stay there. It just means that's where they're at right now. But if you work hard, I went to school on the Pell Grant. I went to Oakland Community College and I have a college degree in business. I have a home that's completely paid for. And like you, I'm also a landlord. I own an apartment complex. Thank God they didn't steal it from us.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what they, but it does iterate a point. A lot of those children get exploited. They get used because they're considered by predators to be vulnerable targets that you don't have anybody to stand up for you. So whatever I do to hurt you, nobody's going to catch me because who would believe you? And I've got a family of my own as a support system. And a lot of them are very, these types of predators are very hidden. It could be a doctor or some, they make up things that aren't true. There's flying monkeys, but they do take a lot of abuse. But I give you a lot of credit, Ms. Spinner, for having some empathy and compassion that you see the big picture and you're doing something nice for those underprivileged people. Just because they're down on their luck today doesn't mean it takes away their intelligence to be something at a later time. There were many times when they
that's what I realized. Yeah.
With the gap off in winter, when I was younger. Yeah. Today we have a beautiful life. We travel the world. We'll never have to work again. I have a family here. Life turned out beautiful. So just because somebody's down on their luck today, I guess the moral of the story is it doesn't have to stay that way. Things can get better if you do the right thing. But I admire that you said you had a scholarship and you seem to be a little more intelligent, Ms. Spinner, that you can understand certain dynamics with a little bit more insight. One of the most amazing things, lack of insight in people, but I'm really impressed that you seem to have a higher sense of understanding with things, and you're willing to act on that.
Yes.
I would be proud of you.
Interviewing Michelle, I realized that, she is very sharp, even though she came through the foster system. And like you, she said that a lot of folks would take advantage because they could, like you were saying. And also, she loved school but she just didn't have the support. So now that she is an adult and she, like you, is very successful, she's married, she has two beautiful adult sons. She has written these two books and folks are actually getting on board with her and putting together this hub for these foster kids. And so once they age out, her hub not only can house them, but also it's a place where they can get their social security card, they can get their birth certificate, they can learn how to write a resume, and it's just that support. It's what normal families do for their kids that these kids.
Well, now if you think about it, now if you're a little bit smarter, now look at what you just said. I mean, for the other people listening, I'm sure you get the big picture here. But now, say I was an abusive person. And I had a foster child. Okay. Now that foster child doesn't come to me through the foster care without any documents. I'm the holder of their birth certificate, social security card, because that child is under my care. Now, if I've abused that person, then I don't want them to be successful so that they could tell on me and I'd have to face the consequences of my own actions. I would probably be rotten, turn them out on the street, and destroy their social security card and birth certificate so they would have a hard time being believed. And I would want them to fail to cover up for what I did. And so when you talk about social security cards and missing birth certificates, it's a crippling thing to disadvantage a person. And that could have been intentional to hide the abuse that the person went through, because without a social security card, you can't get a job. And without a birth certificate, you're not a person. So that is a great way to destroy a person's credibility and make it very difficult for them to go to college, get a career. They don't want them to get out of that hole, because if they did, then they could become successful and then people would have to listen to them. And then they wouldn't be able to shut them up so easily. There might be some accountability for their past actions and they wouldn't want that. So they try to give the person the most roughest, difficult time when they're the most vulnerable, hoping that they'll fail and get forgotten about. It's a way of closing a person off, which is very horrible to do, because frankly, people shouldn't be abusing other people to start with.
Well, know. Exactly. So, exactly. So
there's a lot of modus operandis that go behind the scenes too, you know.
I want to jump over and say, welcome to Carmela. There is Carmela. She is my co-host. I'm going to click through here right now and make her my co-host. And Carmela, how are you doing this morning? I just started off by saying who I was and where I am. And what I forgot to mention is that I'm normally in the Canal Winchester, Ohio area, but I am in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida area this week. So again, with my real estate, we have a piece of real estate here in the Bradenton, Sarasota area, a condo. And so we're down here working on a rehab. Carmela knows all about that. She's got one long distance as well. So Carmela, tell us, just introduce yourself and what you're doing today and how it is that you're giving back. She's a giver. That's why she's my co-host. Carmela.
I'm Carmela Banks, and I'm here in Northwest Ohio in Lima. And today I'm in the law office working. And I became like a grandma this morning. Not really, but you know, one of my adoptive kids. I'm still waiting on my daughter to give me a real one, but just preparing, getting ready, because we're heading to our house in Maryland next week. So I'll be there next Friday.
Okay. Doing
things, but it's been crazy busy week. Been with mom a couple times this week, doctor's appointments and all that fun stuff, and I've just been busy actually helping out and giving, you know, back this week, you know, with a lot of different things. So I'm ready to take a break next, get to Maryland. I just want to kind of take a downtime, but hopefully I'll have my article ready. So I've been writing that too, so.
Okay. And for those of you that ponder what she's talking about, we have the Freestyle Living magazine, and Carmela is one of the writers in that magazine. She's one of the contributors. And so we're going to be publishing that magazine mid-January. We already have one edition out, our fall edition, and everyone contributed there. And now we're getting ready to do our winter edition here mid-January. So I'm excited to see your article, Carmela. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love that. And let's move over to Dustin. Dustin, tell us again where you're coming to us from and what's going on in your world.
Too much. I'm multitasking, if you can't tell. But I am listening. I'm really good at it, or at least I think I am.
Okay.
So I'm originally from South Chicago. I was born and raised. I moved to Ohio December 21st of 2010. I purchased my property 2011. I too was a previous landlord. I turned out to enjoy making the money. I didn't really enjoy renting to people. I'm a product person. I'm an engineer by trade. So I'm a serial entrepreneur. What do I have going on right now? I'm actually retired, which I say is way cooler than saying I'm unemployed. I've started what I would deem as successful companies, but I would also like to add the caveat that success is something that's only measurable by the person that's measuring it. What is successful for me is not successful for you. So my first company, I ran a general contracting company. At the height of the company, we had around 238 employees, multifamily homes, multi-million dollar contracts. I eventually got burnt. I couldn't manage the job site and 200 and some employees. In that time, in the last couple of years, I ran that company for 8 years. In that time, I started a virtual reality company focusing on firearms and first aid simulation training and an extended reality. In 2017, I filed for a provisional patent for a fire control group that allowed a real life AR-15 to be used in extended reality, which granted our law enforcement officers and military personnel the ability to train with their duty weapons safely in a simulated environment. We focus mainly on decision-making skills. In 2020, I sold my intellectual property specifically for the firearms side of the project, which was my business partner and down in Athens project, to our investor in the medical side of stuff. In 2021, I realized the value of an employee versus the value of an owner. And I was held accountable for my commitments to the company, but they weren't held accountable for their commitments to me and the research budget that they gave me to progress my firearms research. Nonetheless, I stepped back. Something that I think Ernie touched on is what I call social currency, right? And when I worked with medical directors of entire countries, I realized how fast they were to tell me they were a medical director. And I think part of that is it builds social currency. If you're adopted, that's not the good social currency in society. But if you're a doctor, oh my God, that's phenomenal social currency. And I'm being a little facetious and I apologize if it doesn't come off great. But so 3 years ago, like I said, I stepped away from the company I started, the second company. I determined that most of my identity was wrapped up into my career, that I was the cool VR guy that did all the stuff that nobody can talk about, that nobody will ever see in 20 years, right? And a lot of my friends put that on me. I'm like, wait, who is Dustin? I don't know who Dustin is because I've been this, that, right? So I went back to school. I focused on what, my career, so to say, is, and did some more industrial design classes and updated some stuff like that. And then, weird enough, I did 137 lecture hours and I became a certified life coach. I have the caveat that there is no actually a administration board that determines what a certification is. Nonetheless, I just always like to add that caveat. I did that mainly to improve my communication skills and my interpersonal relationships. Also, it helps me become a better leader, which also obviously has an impact on business. So after that, honestly, I just kind of been reflecting on myself and to some level trying to find purpose. And I like to find kernels of stuff. So I've figured it out. My purpose is to influence people, good, bad, and ugly. And at one point in life, growing up in Chicago, it was kind of that influence and ugly. And now every day I wake up, I want to do good. And as long as I decide I'm going to do good, there I'm going to do good, period. Right. I've done online sales for about 20 years. I'm probably one of the first 10,000 Amazon sellers in the world or so. I don't know exactly, but I've been selling on Amazon since 2021. I also been selling on eBay since 2021. I've spun that up a little bit more. I've developed a product last year that my big push next year is to get into retail store instead of just selling business or person to person. And then I'm also actually spinning up a talk show currently.
I love that. I love that.
And it's
Yes.
all me cleaning audio equipment and stuff. Like I said, the best way to describe me, I'm a serial entrepreneur. If you've ever seen Big Bang, I'm kind of like Sheldon Cooper. I'm very much a computer. I'm socially inept. I'm highly intelligent. But I've spent 15 years studying psychology and human behavior, so I can almost fake it. Right. I feel like I've been on my pedestal for a little bit. I appreciate you allowing me the time to speak. Thank you.
Dustin, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you sharing. I love hearing your story. Wow, that's amazing. And you're not too far from us. I'm normally in the Canal Winchester area. I've got some property in Hocking Hills. I just bought another house down in Middleport on the other side of Athens. So I'm all kind of in that same area. So we'll definitely have to stay connected. So thank you so much for joining us today. Elise, can you share? This morning, I called on her earlier and she didn't unmute, so I don't know if she's multitasking today or not. Elise, is it possible for you to share with the group who you are and where you're coming to us from? We'll wait just a second to see if she can do that. She might be multitasking, but I appreciate that she is listening in. And so, does anyone have a project that they're working on currently on a way that they can give back? And for me, I'll start my current project, and I talked about it just briefly where I had interviewed this Michelle Mays, and she was talking about aging out of foster care, and she's starting this hub, and she's actually starting it in Southern Ohio for all of Southern Ohio. To try to help those adult children that age out of the system. And so With me, my goal when I first started my academy, once I came, for those of you that don't know my story, I'd worked in corporate America for years. And then when I retired, I wanted to do something where I could give back. And so one of the things that I did when I started this academy is that I did create one scholarship program already for the academy. And my goal is to have a scholarship program for each lane that I'm in. And donate scholarships, one or two of those every single year. And so I had done it in the real estate lane. I have the scholarship, but I hadn't done it in any of the other lanes. And it was just a perfect opportunity when I interviewed Michelle the other night to offer scholarships to some of those kids that are aging out of the system to help them take their next best step, whatever that is. And she already had a couple of folks in mind that she'd been working with that knew it would be a perfect fit with what it is that I offer. And so it just was kind of an answer for me because things just kind of fell in place, that this is definitely what I'm supposed to be doing. So now I'm going to be looking for ways that I can donate a scholarship in every lane that I'm in. And so that's my goal for the next year for 2024 is to actually put together these scholarship programs and give more because that's what I feel my message is to actually give more of the information that I have. So who wants to maybe share on something that you're working on that you want to actually give more? Is there anyone that's working on a project currently?
Well,
Yes, Dustin.
that's honestly why I'm stepping more into this talk space area, for lack of better terminology, is because I have the time and the desire to give more. And if I'm not gonna go ahead and just be honest and throw myself under the bus, I also have the privilege. I'm a highly educated white male, for whatever that may mean in current society. Right, but that does carry privilege, whether I want that privilege or not. To say it doesn't have a privilege, I attended a class last night on isms, and it talked about all the different isms, ageism, racism, so on and so forth. And a lot of people don't understand that I, as a white male, have faced a lot of those isms. I'm not that big of a guy. I've been body shamed a lot. Actually, I played football for a while and then everybody got big and I didn't. So I couldn't play football no more. Right. I grew up in South Chicago. I graduated with 16 white people. I was picked on quite a bit because of my skin color. And to be honest, I'm not even white. I'm Sicilian, which I'm Mediterranean by descent. My family came over in 54, but my whole life I've been called white. So now I just accept it. Right. So going back to like my purpose is to influence people. And I understand that I have some of these privileges, that I am fairly intelligent, that I am fairly articulated, and I have the ability to communicate well. So this is part of the reason why I've worked more and more into content creation on, communication skills, intentional relationships, more so personal facets than business facets. Business, I can make a lot of money in business. I don't need money. I mean, I want more, but I own everything at this point. At 39, I own everything. And that is my motivation because right now, money's not enough. I turned down a contract with Nike. If I wanted money, I would have taken that contract, right? And this is what where I'm pushing more and more into that public figure type of thing. Now, I'm not saying I'm ever going to be a Jordan Peterson or any of, whoever you may respect, Joe Rogan or anything like that. But my goal is to hopefully, provide a service to other individuals by promoting free speech and authenticity.
So, do you have some ways that you're planning on doing that? Do you have a platform yet, or what are your thoughts?
So that's the thing that's really weird. So full disclosure, I have Asperger's syndrome. So I always like to self-identify with that, right? And long story short, I kind of stepped into the social media world a few years ago, and for various reasons as a content creator. And it wasn't really to be a content creator. It was just kind of fun to do. And to be honest, it gave me a little bit of dopamine, right? You get a couple likes on your picture, you're like, woo, everybody likes me, right? Well, last year, my social media reached 267 million people. And that's when I realized that I got a voice. And I never wanted it, but I have it. And now I'm going to accept responsibility of said voice. That's approximately 5% of the world's population that paid attention to me for one reason or another. And, full disclosure, I'm in a very niche market on what I discuss. I talk about intentional relationships and alternative relationship structures and in-depth communication skills, a lot of stuff that's kind of heady. And to be honest, it doesn't seem like a lot of people want to talk about that stuff. But I feel that as we're moving forward as a society and as our cultures are progressing, we're seeing this more and more open dialogue on communicating, right? So yeah, I got a platform I never fathomed. And it's so weird because I've always been this geeky, awkward guy that never got really much attention, right? I've always been like the tech guy behind the scenes, or even when I owned my construction company, when I had 200 employees, there was like three that knew I was the boss. Most thought I was the boss's son, which actually was quite advantageous to me, right? So it's really interesting to move forward into the space because I'm not extroverted. I'm not at all. But somehow, over the course of the last 3 years, I've built some kind of social media presence where it was a couple months ago, it really like clicked. The UPS driver recognized me. And I'm like, I live in the middle of the country. Like, hold on a second. Like, he's like, do you got this? And I'm like, I felt really weird. I'm just like, do I got to sign for this? Like, it's not an autograph or nothing. I just want to know if I got to sign for my package, right?
That's funny. So you're getting recognized by the UPS guy from your social media.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Dustin, I'm going to have to keep an eye on you and see what great things you're going to do. Yes. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Anyone else working on a project? Yes, Ernie.
Hi, can you hear us? Can you hear us okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've been here in Cavite for maybe 10 or 11 months. And what I can honestly say is that the Philippines is unlike any other place in the world that I have ever been. I've been in Europe, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, England, Italy, like Rome. Ernie traveled around a lot on this vacation. Now, the thing is, Gia is just an ordinary woman. She's a beautiful, a very nice woman, but she's just ordinary, like me. During the day, she would go to work in a factory in Nangahan, where she was a manager that was a quality control person. Because at Animoto was the factory where she works. They make LED lights, and she was the lady that would sit there with was it a microscope? Yeah, a microscope, and make sure each one was normal. And she would work, oh, for 12 or 14 hours and only make 400 pesos a day, which is pretty sad. It's very, very, very low wages, almost like slave labor. Now, me, when she would be gone for that amount of time, I would look to entertain myself. So I decided that I would do some volunteering. And, they have sister or Mother Mary Teresa's orphanage around the corner from here. And when I went there, I don't know how to explain it. The conditions, yeah, it was, there's nothing for me to criticize. The people are taken care of. It's very clean, very kind-hearted people. It's run by the clergy. But I never saw such pitiful sights in my life with people who are not neglected through cleanliness or food to eat, but neglected through attention that they wanted me to volunteer and feed them to some of the handicapped children in an orphanage for the disabled that can't eat. I've never seen people so skinny from the way that their bodies are wasting away. It's actually hideous if you could see something like that. And, you know, when I started thinking about it, I thought, you know, it breaks my heart to see children suffer like that because they've got cerebral palsy and maybe their parents are deceased, so they've got no one to take care of them, and they waste away so thin. It will actually traumatize you if you could actually see it. Now I'm not saying there's any abuse in the shelter.
Right.
It's just the natural progression of their physical ailment, that the disease is what's doing that to them, not people. I'm not talking about abuse. But, you know, I started to think about some of the other things that the community could need, because they were asking for donations of clothes or food or anything that could be useful to them. And, you know, one of the things I thought about was, you know, you're in America, in Michigan, and they have the Salvation Army where they have deposit box where you can have donation centers. They actually don't have anything like that. And I thought maybe they should set up donation centers and have like one main place that where all of these donations could get sorted and filled and turned into a center, like a store, and then they could have like an intake center where people that were down on their luck or needed clothes or shelter or food could come in and get assistance. They actually don't have anything like that here. They have a lot of homeless people. In fact, there's a gentleman that sleeps on the bridge that goes across Governor's Drive. He turned that into his little apartment. If you look at some of the pictures from the Philippines, there's a lot of beggars. Gia had her picture taken. If you look at one of our vacations to, what was it, Star City? Yeah, Manila, where we go to an amusement park. There's, I think, three or four little children standing there with their feet. They're walking around Manila with just bare feet on, you know. So there's a lot that could be done here, I think, to improve the welfare. And we've given, like, pesos consistently. In fact, what I do is usually I carry in my pocket a bunch of single pesos to give to people that will come up. And I just think the people don't know. See, the thing about Southeast Asia is that it's such secluded. It's kind of like saying you can't miss something if you've never had it. So by keeping everybody in this tight space, they can't learn about Western ideas that could be useful to the people as a whole. It's kind of like Europe and Western countries just kind of push them into a corner and don't let them out to where they could learn about doing things better. I guess that's one of the things I had considered, but not being a citizen here, I can't really hold office or
the amount
of assistance I could give would be very minimal. But I've also kind of considered these things that it would take an outsider coming in to notice things that the other people that are already here couldn't see, because you can't miss something you've never had. They don't know about any other way of doing things. It kind of makes me feel bad for them, but I guess that's one of the things I would say is a social point, you know.
Yeah, good points. Yes, thank you for sharing, Ernie. Let's switch over to Carmela. Carmela, how about you? What is it that you're working on? Any projects in your near future other than your house in Maryland?
I mean, just list it. There's so many things. I've been really, you know how I had mentioned probably a while ago, like with the young ladies and stuff, I've been working a lot with like the youth now and just kind of being that person to kind of really help and lead them along the way. And I'm getting more active too with the Alzheimer's, mainly because of my mother and going through it with my father and mother-in-law and being a caregiver. I have such a passion for that. And I'm just doing, you know, I've done some speaking engagements, also diving into my essential oils. And I've been actually mixing up different things, you know, roller bottles and stuff, that when they have like events for the different ones at the I guess one of the facilities here that has like a memory care unit. I've been like donating and giving just things that can help them, calming with like the oils, the essential oils and things that are all natural. To do a class on oils of the Bible, so I'm going to branch myself out there. Basically just, you know, just natural use of things that's being more healthy, because you know me, I don't like getting shots, I don't like taking pills. I'm the worst patient there is. So I'm doing that because, you know, it's been really difficult with my mom. And even though, as you know, I have two brothers, it's kind of, everybody depends on me. And so
I get it.
I'm there and, you know, all out there. So it's such a sad disease. But, you know, I have so much passion, and sometimes it just breaks my heart, you know, what they go through. So I'm trying to give back where I can, you know, in that aspect, you know, just being a support person where someone can, even if they need someone to talk to, they can.
For those of you that don't know Carmela, she's like the mom in her church, like all the teenagers, all the girls come to her, you know, she's the mom. That's why she said she had, you know, the new grandbaby that was actually not her biological grandbaby, but it's one of the girls that she moms. And so she's a great mom. I love it. I love it. Carmela, thank you so much for sharing. I love that. She does get busy. Her husband is an attorney, and she is in the law office today. So she has to sometimes jump over and take a phone call, and handle, her duties there in the law office. So she's kind of tag teaming a little bit here today with some of her duties. I just want to say thanks to everybody that tapped on today. This has been a great conversation. I hope that you stay connected. I love what everyone is doing. I love who you are. I love what you're about. I love that you're here. Ernie, thank you so much, both of you, for coming on. And Dustin, and of course, Carmela. Elise had to jump off. She sent me a little private note. She was multitasking on her job as well. So remember, did Ernie and Dustin, did you find us on Meetup or on Facebook?
I found you on Meetup.
Meetup. And Ernie, Meetup or Facebook?
Meetup. I'm not really on Meetup too much, but I'm sorry, Facebook. But I did find you on Meetup when I clicked on Event Starting Soon. You popped
okay,
up
good.
As the second one on the list.
Okay, so make sure that you tap in, because starting in January, we're going to move to a different day and time, and it's going to be a different Zoom code. Now, once you tap in to the new one, it'll be the same from then on. And it's going to be the fourth Monday of every month at 12 noon. And the only exception, there's always exceptions, right? The only exception is in January, we have five Mondays, and the first is actually a holiday, New Year's Day. And so in January, we're going to be on the 29th. So January 29th at 12 noon, be sure to go over to the Meetup. And it is just Connections Over Coffee, if you want to look it up, and it will give you the new Zoom ID there. So make sure that you click through on the new Zoom ID for January. You can reach me, connect with me, however you like. It's under KathyBenner.com. I do have a free call there if anybody wants to chat with me one-on-one about any of the topics we talked about. You're welcome to click through and schedule a chat time. Just a one-on-one chat with me. And I just look forward to seeing everyone in January. Please come back and join us. We're going to start from the top in January, going through that acronym RISE. And we're going to talk about and break down each one of those sections and show you how to put together your message. So Dustin's way ahead of us there. He has quite the following already. But we're going to actually break down how you want to show up in the world. And so we're going to talk about discovering what makes you tick and how to craft your story around that, and then how to actually elevate by sharing your story with other folks and inspiring them for your cause, whatever it is that you decide you want your cause to be. So any last comments from anyone before we go today? This has been a great call, and I appreciate all of you. Dustin, any last comments?
Yeah. Ernie, do you mind if I send you a message on Meetup? I'd like to chat a little bit about some of your endeavors in the Philippines.
Oh, sure. I'd be more than welcome. I have the camping and hotel club, and you're welcome to join and be a member. What it'll do is it'll give you a snapshot of some of the where Ernie's at. You know, if you want to learn more about me as a person, like a friend, you're welcome to see the things I take interest in life. But by all means, send me a message. I'm more than happy. And thank you for reaching out, you know.
Absolutely. And then when it comes to social media presence, that is one of the professional services that I have offered in the past, is helping people grow their social media. It's free advertising. And once you get it above 10,000 followers, it starts to pay you. So my social media pays me a couple bucks a month, right? I mean, if we look at Mr. Beast, he's the youngest self-made billionaire, and it was made on YouTube, right? So, oh, wow. I mean, I'm currently working with Google Analytics to monetize my website traffic, but to put some kind of perspective, I average a little over 2 million people a month traffic wise. And compared to Google Analytics, that's somewhere around a $30,000 monthly paycheck from Google.
Oh, wow. So, that is cool. It's funny that you mentioned that, to be honest. We have friends here. Some of them said that I should be a blogger. I've never tried it, but you wouldn't believe the things that, whether we're running away from a exploding volcano here in Tagaytay, where like they had a road that collapsed and the volcano was blowing up, and I volunteered to drive my motorcycle over the top of the mountain to go into the village and rescue people. With a baby in my arm and a child on the back of a bike, we went over the top and down again. It's the biggest mind fuck. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, we come on here being nice and try to be practical, but if you could see the things that are here, it would just blow your mind. I mean,
yeah, it sounds like,
I'm sorry.
In the sake of time, I think this meeting ends at 11. But I'll send you a message on Meetup, and then we can go ahead and continue this conversation at a later time.
We think you're interesting, Dustin. I mean, for you to have success like this and to reach out, it's actually interesting. You're very intelligent. Even Gia thinks that we're listening to you, your success, and we're kind of proud of you, you know.
Thank you.
That you're so smart, you know, and it takes a brain. You can't make something out of nothing. You have to have intelligence. Either you're born with a brain or you're not, you know.
So we were impressed. It's funny that you said I'm interesting. So I can't really talk about the project. Most of the stuff I do, I can't talk about, to be clear. The Discovery Channel sent me an email, and I'm like, spam. Discovery Channel doesn't want to talk to Dustin. Sent me another email. Spam. Discovery Channel doesn't want to talk to Dustin. One of my friends reached out. He said, hey, I put a producer in touch with you. They want to talk to you. And I'm like, me? Long story short, I sat down with in three separate meetings with Discovery Network executives. And on the last one, they're like, Dustin, everybody told us you're the only person in the world that can do this task, except you. So in one sentence, make us fall in love. You have the experience, but you're not confident enough. You're too humble. You're sitting in a meeting with Discovery Channel, right? Stop being humble. So in one sentence, sell me. I said, can I get a question and a statement? They said, sure, Dustin, you're very verbose. Okay. Do you know who the no, new Dos Equis beer commercial guy is? The guy's
Oh yeah. I might not always blow the bullshit, but when I do, you know,
Yep. So
yeah, that guy.
he had familiarity with him. And I said, and I apologize my French, but I like to say exactly what I said. He's a liar. I'm the most interesting man in the world. And I stand by that statement. I've experienced a lot. I've bred a lot of various exotic animals. I've shared space with some wonderful humans. I have a great network. I've started multiple companies in various industries. If someone finds someone more interesting than me, I want to do business with them. And you seem kind of interesting, Ernie, but so thank you for letting me speak.
Yeah, we'll connect with them. So we're happy to be your friend, you know.
I love that you guys are making connections. That's what the whole purpose of this call is to make connections. So I love that you guys are connecting. So thank you.
I mean, I have some stories for you that will blow your mind. All of these bridges, we discovered, let me tell you, it started off with a ghost. There's a lot of people that impersonate ghosts because the Philippine underneath the Philippines have only been civilized for the last 100 years, just before the start of World War War. Underneath of it, there's a very strong tribal culture underneath of it. There was a naked woman walking around downtown that comes from, like Gia said, a sea away. She's a tribal woman, not expected to wear clothes, not expected to pay for anything. This would lead to us. We founded a battlefield that had all unmarked graves from the Spanish-American War. Even her father will butcher a chicken to put its blood in the concrete to bless it as a sacrificing so that the structure will be you know will be strong. All of these bridges in the Philippines, all of them are haunted. When they were constructed, they used human sacrifices to put blood into the bridges. I mean, they have an island called Siquijor that's full of witches, and I'm not talking fake, I'm a Wiccan bullshit. I'm talking like, how much money do you got? We will slaughter this cow for you. I mean, like the real deal, where you're actually at the in danger for going there. I mean, there's so much more to the Philippines, and here we are just sitting like ordinary people in McDonald's. Philippines is the biggest mind fuck you ever saw in your life. To be honest, and here we're just sitting like two ordinary people. I mean, and blow your mind things I could tell you. I'm sorry, forgive my naughtiness. I'm sorry. All of it true. You know.
Well, listen, I want to invite all of you to join us again in January. We're at the top of the hour, so we have to go for today, but I really appreciate you coming on board. And Ernie, thank you guys both for being here from the McDonald's. It's great seeing you. Dustin, thank you. And Carmela, as always, thank you for being on, and safe travels to your house in Maryland. And getting your house squared away, whatever. Are you just going to go stay to relax a little bit, or are you going to go there and work? If I know you, you're going there to work.
You know me, I'll work. Farley will relax. I'll work.
Okay.
It's just going to be the two of us, actually. This is the first year I really won't be with family for Christmas, so
Oh, okay.
I might have to plan a Zoom with everybody. I don't know,
Yes. We we're
Mary,
actually
thank you.
flying home to Ohio on the 23rd, so we'll be home just in time to for Christmas with everyone. So
You'll be coming in, I'll be going out.
yeah. Well, safe travels, and again, thank you everyone, and mark your calendar for January 29th at noon, and we'll see you there. Bye everybody.
Have a good day.